ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 11, Calculation of Time from Atom. Text 20 and 21. 20 doesn't have any purport, therefore, two verses we are covering today, and the verse on the board is the verse 21. So I'll just read through text 20.
Sandha sandhang sayur antar kalo sata sankhayo tame bahur jugang tajya yatro dharma vidhiyate.
The transitional periods before and after every millennium, which are a few hundred years as aforementioned, are known as Yuga Sandhas, or the conjunctions of two millenniums, according to the expert astronomers. In those periods, all kinds of religious activities are performed. Then we are going to text 21, which is written on the board.
Dharmas
Chatuspan
Manujan
Krite
Samanubartate
Sa Evanneshu
Adharmena
Veti
Padena
Vardhata.
Dharmas
Chatuspan
Manujan
Krite Samanuvartate
Sa
Evanneshad Dharmena
Vyeti
Padena Vardhata.
Dharmas
Chatuspan
Manujan
Krite Samanuvartate
Sa
Evanneshu Adharmena
Veti
Padena Vardhata.
Dharmas
Chatuspan
Manujan
Krite Samanuvartate
Sa
Evanneshu Adharmena
Vyeti
Padena Vardhata.
Dharma,
religion,
Chatuspat, complete four dimensions. Manujan,
mankind.
Krite, in the Satya Yuga.
Samanuvartate,
properly maintained.
Sa,
that.
Eva,
certainly.
Annesu,
in other.
Adharmena,
by the influence of a religion.
Beti,
declined.
Padena,
by one part.
Vardhata,
gradually increasing proportionately. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Vidura, in the Satya millennium, mankind properly and completely maintained the principles of religion. But in other millenniums, religion gradually decreased by one part as religion was proportionately admitted, Please repeat after me. O Vidura, in the Satya Millennium, mankind properly and completely maintained the principles of religion. But in other millenniums, religion gradually decreased by one part as irreligion was proportionately admitted. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Satya Millennium, complete execution of religious principles prevailed. Gradually, the principles of religion decreased by one part in each of the subsequent millenniums. In other words, at present, there is one part religion and three parts irreligion. Therefore, people in this age are not very happy. Dharmas chatushpan manujan krite samanu vartate sa evan nesha dharmena beti padena vartata. O Vidura, in the Satya Millennium, mankind properly and completely maintained the principles of religion. But in other millennium, religion gradually decreased by one part as irreligion was proportionately admitted. So there are four yugas. So we are actually getting an understanding of time, starting from the movement of an atom. And now we have come into the higher dimension, one of the highest dimensions of time. The higher dimension of time that has been described here is the yugas and Dibba Yuga. Then it is going all the way up to the day of Brahma and lifespan of Brahma. So Dibba Yugas are four Chatur Yugas: Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. On the earth planet, we see their influence very vividly. In Satya Yuga, Dharma is intact. Intact means there are four pillars of Dharma, and all those four pillars are completely intact. That is the condition of Satya Yuga. And then as the time progresses to Treta, Dwapar and Kali, one part of Dharma or one pillar of Dharma breaks. Like in Treta Yuga, in Satya Yuga, Dharma is standing on four pillars. That means mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness, these four pillars of Dharma are intact in Satya Yuga. But in Treta Yuga, one pillar breaks. That is, one fourth of Dharma is gone. Which pillar is gone? Austerity. In Treta Yuga, austerity goes. Whereas in Satya Yuga, all these austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness, all these four pillars are intact. That means everyone is situated in perfect Dharma. And more one is situated in Dharma, more happy one becomes. So that means in Satya Yuga everyone was extremely happy. There was no unhappiness. Dharma was perfectly situated. And everyone was practicing Dharma without any tinge of deviation. But in Treta Yuga, as Treta Yuga came, one leg of Dharma was broken. That is, austerity is broken. And when austerity breaks, what happens? What is the result of the breakage of austerity? Meditation. Then in Dwapar Yuga, mercy is broken. So dharma now, two legs are broken, or rather two pillars are broken, and dharma is now standing on two pillars, and two are broken. Austerity and mercy are broken. And meat eating and intoxication prevailed. That is in Dwapar Yuga. And in Kali Yuga? Dwapar Yuga, two legs are broken. Then Kali Yuga, the three legs are broken. Three legs of dharma, three pillars of dharma are broken. Austerity, mercy and cleanliness. And as a result of that, the three legs of adharma became strong. So dharma is standing on one leg, adharma is standing on three legs in Kali Yuga. So meat eating, intoxication and illicit sex. These three legs of adharma have become strong, and dharma is standing only on one leg, truthfulness. And that leg is also breaking. Due to the influence of adharma, the fourth leg of dharma is also being affected. So that is the condition of Kali Yuga. So as the time moves on, as the humanity moves on time, they become more and more sinful. They lose dharmic principle. Another way to look at it is, in Satya Yuga people are very close to their spiritual identity. Therefore, dharma is intact. But as the time moves on, people become more and more distant from their spiritual identity. And in Kali Yuga, they are farthest away from their spiritual identity. The weakest, as far as their spiritual activities are concerned, their spiritual situation is concerned, their spiritual identity is concerned. So this is the age of adharma. And the fourth leg also, the fourth pillar of dharma is also breaking, untruthfulness. So that is the situation. This is how the time moves. Now, although Kali Yuga is a very, very degraded age, and the situation in the age of Kali is very, very critical, but Kali Yuga has one great advantage, and that is Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Braja. Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan Asti Hieko Mahan Guna. Although the age of Kali is a Doshe Nidhe, is an ocean of sinful activity, is the most predominantly sinful Nidhi. So doshe nidhe, the Kali Yuga is the place or the time, or the Kali Yuga is the time for sinful activity. But it has one great advantage. Asti hi eko mahan guna. It has one great quality, great advantage. And that is Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Braja. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can become free from all these sinful reactions. And he can become elevated to the spiritual sky very easily. That is the condition of the age of Kali. On one hand, it's extremely sinful. But at the same time, this age has the greatest spiritual advantage. And that is the normal condition of the age of the Kali. People become extremely sinful, therefore the Lord's mercy becomes extremely prominent, just by chanting they can achieve their spiritual perfection. And that is the Yuga Dharma. Like in one hand we can see that as the people become averse to religious activities, become irreligious, the process for spiritual perfection becomes easier and easier. In Satya Yuga, people were most qualified. They were perfectly situated in Dharma. And the process for spiritual advancement was extremely difficult. That is meditation. The process of meditation is an extremely difficult process. But in Treta Yuga, people become less qualified. They became less qualified, and the process for spiritual perfection, Yuga Dharma, became little easier. They became little more degraded, and the process became little easier. That is sacrifice, Agnishtom or Agnihatra, Japya, fire sacrifice. The sacrifice, the process of sacrifice is easier than meditation. Then in Dwapar Yuga, people became even more disqualified, so the process became even more simplified. The Dharma became, Yuga Dharma became even more simplified. And the process now is worshiping the Lord in the temple. But in Kali Yuga, people are most unqualified, most degraded, so the process became the most simple. Worshipping in the temple is difficult. You ask the pujaris and you'll find out. But chanting the holy name of the Lord is very easy. To worship the deity in the temple, you have to follow so many disciplines. You have to maintain perfect timing, you have to get up, you have to very clean, you have to also invest so much time. So this is how the process of worship actually is quite difficult relatively, comparatively. But the chanting, so easy. So the easiest process for spiritual advancement is actually the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So that is the Yuga Dharma for the age of Kali. What can be more simple than that? You can chant any time. You got up a little early in the morning, okay, chant. You don't even have to clean yourself or take your bath. You can chant even lying on your bed. There is no restriction, there is no rules and regulations. You can chant anytime, anywhere, in any condition. You can even chant in the toilet. An example had been very wonderfully given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regarding that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of the toilet and Mahaprabhu was biting onto his tongue like that. So everyone questioned, what happened? Why are you biting onto your tongue like this? The Mahaprabhu said, look, I went to a dirty place and my tongue still chants the holy name there. So in order to stop my tongue to chant the holy name, I am biting onto it so that it cannot chant. So there was a 5-year-old boy called Gopal. So Gopal questioned Mahaprabhu, if the time comes for one to die, and if he is in a dirty place, should he chant the holy name of the Lord? Mahaprabhu was stuck. Mahaprabhu said, I learned something from Gopal today. So through these pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught everyone that one can chant the holy name even in the toilet. Doesn't matter, wherever you are, you can chant the holy name. Mahaprabhu accepted that point from Gopal. That should one chant the holy name at the time of death? If one is dying in the toilet, what is going to, what he is going to do? Should he not chant?
Mark Rusin, yes, I learned something from Gopal today. And that's why that 5-year-old boy Gopal now became identified as Gopal Guru, because Mahaprabhu accepted him as Guru. And he later on became famous as Gopal Guru Goswami. So the point is that one can chant anywhere at any time. Sometimes people ask, should I start chanting after taking bath? I said, doesn't matter. As soon as you get up, start chanting. There is no restriction. To chant the holy name, you don't have to consider anything. Pure or impure, there is no consideration of that. That is how wonderful an opportunity this is to be able to chant the holy name. So, this is the Yuga Dharma for the age of Kali. The most qualified people have the greatest advantage. And isn't that the case? Like if we consider the lessons or the process, isn't it simpler for the weaker ones? Like the exams in class in the kindergarten school? How are the exams? They don't have to do anything. They simply have to play. And they'll pass. Then they go to primary school, the exams become a little more difficult. Then they go to high school, the exams become even more difficult. Then they go to college, it becomes very difficult. And then they go to university, it's very, very difficult. Now it may be difficult, the exams are difficult, but the students are qualified. University students are qualified to sit for those exams. It's meant for them because they are advanced. And the weaker ones in you naturally ask a kindergarten child to answer the PhD, the master's degree course. No, they are not. It is two different dimensions altogether. So now you consider who are the candidates for the age of Kali, who are the living entities in the age of Kali? The weakest one. Therefore, the Yuga Dharma, the process for spiritual advancement, has made completely easy. Very, very easy. Just chant. And just by chanting, you can achieve your spiritual perfection. Now if somebody thinks, chanting is easy. I don't want to take that easy path. I'll go to the Himalayas and I will meditate. Go give it a try. When a person thinks like that, one doesn't want to take the easy course, what does it mean? He's a fool. Intelligent person takes the easiest course. The foolish ones want to take the difficult one. There is a way to go from one place to another by plane, by train, and on foot. Right? In three ways you can go. Now if one has the ability or means, which course he'll take? He'll take a plane. He'll take the flight. Those who can't afford the flight, they will take the train. But if somebody can afford to go by flight, he has given a chance. Come, get into the plane and go to Delhi from Indore. He says, no, I won't go by plane. I'll go on foot. Is it very intelligent? There are some people, they're like that. No, we won't take train, we won't take car, we'll walk on foot. Good luck. Go on foot. Well, what does it actually mean? That those people are very, very foolish. The intelligent people will take the quickest and the easiest means. Isn't it? So those who are intelligent in the age of Kali, what will they do? They will take to the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's why this word has been used. Jajanti hi sumedhasa. Sumedhasa means very, very intelligent people. Those who are really intelligent, those who are very intelligent, they will accept this process. And those who are stupid, those who are foolish, they will say, no, I'll go for jagya, I'll go for deity worship, I'll go for meditation for my spiritual perfection. Another point is that they don't even know what is spiritual perfection. Nowadays people do meditation not for spiritual advancement, for physical well-being. It is becoming very popular around the world today. But for what? Just for physical well-being. And this is how it's being promoted also in this age. Some yogis are becoming so popular. They're giving yoga lessons. They're becoming so popular. People are following. Why? Your digestion will improve if you practice yoga. Your bronchitis will be cured if you follow practice yoga. Your diabetes will get cured if you practice yoga. But is the yoga meant for that? Yoga practices are meant for that? For physical well-being? No. Yoga is actually meant for meditation. Ashtanga yoga. So, Prabhupada has given us the most sublime process following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came and gave the most sublime process. So those who are intelligent, they'll accept the process and derive its benefit. Those who are practicing, those of you who are practicing the process, are you getting some benefit? Getting benefit, or you're wasting your time? How many of you are wasting your time in ISKCON? No one. How many of you are getting the benefit? That's very good. So, keep on taking advantage of this process. And as a result of that, what will happen? Although it's the age of Kali, you'll be situated in the Satya Yuga. Because for you, Dharma will become impact. You'll be situated in Dharma. That's why it's not only just chanting the holy name. There are another consideration also. There are prerequisites for chanting the holy name. What? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. What is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is to establish dharma in a perfect way. The four pillars of dharma now is intact. If you don't follow these, if you don't indulge in these four activities, if you don't indulge in meat eating, if you don't indulge in intoxication, if you don't indulge in illicit sex, if you don't indulge in gambling, then you are perfectly situated in dharma. But that means actually all the four pillars of dharma now are intact. No meat eating means mercy. I'm sorry, austerity. No meat eating means austerity. No intoxication means mercy. Mercy is intact. In your heart. Don't take meat. In your heart, austerity, pillar of dharma will become intact. You don't take intoxication, the mercy pillar of dharma will become intact. You don't indulge in illicit sex, the cleanliness aspect of dharma will become intact. And don't gamble, don't indulge in untruthfulness, then truthfulness pillar will become intact on you. So this is how dharma will become. You will be situated perfectly on the platform of dharma. Irrespective of the external condition. External condition may be sinful. Doesn't matter. That sinful condition will not affect you. Rather, that sinful condition, the external sinful condition, is qualifying you to become properly, become or make advancement rapidly, following a very simple and easy process. That is the advantage of the age of Kali.
And there is a very special advantage in this age of Kali. Like in other ages, the Yuga Dharma is, in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan, no doubt about that. But that Sankirtan will elevate one to Vaikuntha. But this particular Kali Yuga, which is the 28th Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga in the 28th Chatur Yuga in Vaivashyata Manvantar, that makes us a very, very fortunate. Because in the previous Dwapar Yuga, Krishna came. Nanda Nandan Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Brajendra Nandan Krishna has come. And he revealed his Braja Leela, Braja pastimes. And in the following Kali Yuga, after that Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are in this Kali Yuga. That is this Kali Yuga. So we have an access to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which wouldn't have been possible otherwise. And this is how we are actually having an opportunity to be elevated to Vrindavan. To enter into Vrindavan in Radha Krishna's Madhur Leela. So Madhur Leela, Madhurja Ujjala Premate. So the most brilliant relationship between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. This we have an access to just by being born in this age of Kali. And then also not only after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we have come after Srila Prabhupada. After Srila Prabhupada established Krishna consciousness, we have now the opportunity because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy to come and take advantage of that. Although we are very unqualified, although we are very fallen, doesn't matter. Potito pavana hetu tavo avatar Moshamo potito prabhu na paiya. Narottamdas Thakur is singing. A very, very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying, he is not sinful, but talking about us, he is saying that. Then, my Lord, you have come to deliver the fallen souls. You have come to deliver the fallen. And you'll never find anyone more fallen than I am. So who is most qualified to have your mercy? So this is how I am qualified. So this is our advantage. In the age of Kali we may be fallen. Doesn't matter. Actually the more fallen you are, the more is your claim to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. What a magnanimous arrangement for the Lord. In other ages one has to be qualified. One has to be properly situated in dharma, one has to be pious, one has to be very, very advanced spiritually to derive proper spiritual benefit. But in this age, what is our qualification? I'm fallen. I'm qualified because I'm fallen. So that is the advantage. So here, we do not have to be proud. No, I am so pious. I am so good. I am so advanced. No. If we want the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to recognize how fallen we are. I'm fallen. I'm a product of the age of Kali. So what to do? The environment is so sinful. Even though we don't want to become sinful, we are forced to become sinful. Because of the situation of this age. But that is making us qualified to receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Now what happens when you recognize that we are fallen? Then you become humble. If I think I am very pious, I came from a very pious family, I am very advanced, then what happens? Do you become humble or you become arrogant? So this movement, there is no room for arrogance. This movement is meant for the humble ones. So in order to be humble, we have to recognize that I'm a very ordinary person, I'm very fallen, I'm very degraded. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing his mood of Dainya. Amar jivan sada pape rato nahi ko punya nilesh. My life is completely engrossed in sinful activities. Constantly. Sada pape rato. I am always engaged in, I have always been engaged in sinful activities, and nahi ko punero lesh. There is no tinge of pious activities in my whole life. That is my situation. My life is full of sinful activities. Sada pape rato nahi ko punero lesh. Porere udveg diachi je koto diachi jivere klesh. I have caused distress to so many people all the time, and I have made them suffer in so many ways. So in this way Bhaktivinoda Thakur is lamenting. And this is the qualification to surrender. If we become proud, we cannot surrender. If we become humble, then only we can surrender. Therefore let's become humble. So this is how this process is perfect for the age of Kali. To begin with, we are fallen. Our fallen condition makes us humble. And when you are humble, then you can surrender. And surrendering to the Lord is the process for spiritual advancement. Isn't it a wonderful arrangement? And in this respect, there is a very nice example. The father has four sons. The first son is very well placed. He is doing very well. Second son is also quite good, doing quite well. Third son is also, he is now in college studying, in MBA. And the fourth one is the youngest, is a little boy. And not only he is little, but he is sick. Now father's attention will be most wonderfully manifest to whom? Is the father very concerned about the son who is very well placed? No, father knows, okay, he is well placed, I don't have to worry about him. The second one is also quite well. Third one is in college, okay, he is doing his MBA. All I have to do is just send him the money for his education, and in a few months' time he'll have his degree and he'll get a good job and he'll be okay. But the fourth one, the little one, is not only little, he is very unqualified, useless, and he is very sick. So what does the father do? Does the father reject him? Oh, you are useless, therefore I don't. Rather, the father picks him up because he is sick. The father stays up by his bedside at night. So in Kali Yuga, our condition is like the youngest brothers, youngest of the four, who is not only useless, but he is sick. That is our condition. Like we are totally unqualified, we are absolutely useless, and on top of that, we are sick. So what our Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is doing about us? He is staying up by our bedside, seeing our miserable condition and trying to find some means to relieve us from this difficult situation. He is picking us up on his lap. And that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come down to pick us up. The only condition is surrender. And how do we express our surrender? Mahaprabhu said, you chant the holy name. So when you chant the holy name,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you chant the holy name, and Mahaprabhu sees that we are chanting the holy name, well, how does Mahaprabhu feel? Oh, this is good. This one is obedient. So, I will take care of you. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eagerly waiting to take us back to the spiritual sky. And his main assistant is Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu has announced, Jatishtang re bhratu kuru hori hori dhano manishang tato va shamsar ambudhi tarano dayo moi lagit. My dear brothers, you simply chant Hari Hari, you simply chant Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Then you kuru Hari Hari dhana manisham, tato va shamsar ambudhi tarano dayo moi lagit. Then I will become responsible to take you across the ocean of material nature. Sangsar ambudhi tarano dayo. Sangsar ambudhi means ocean. Samsar means the ocean of this material nature. Sangsar ambudhi tarano means going across. Dayo, I am being responsible. Moi lage. I am being responsible. You chant the holy name of Krishna, you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, I will be responsible to take you across. You don't have to do anything. Just chant the holy name and I will take you across. So now what we have to do? We simply have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Only thing is that don't commit the 10 offenses. Because if you chant committing the offenses, then the Nam Prabhu will not bestow his mercy. Otherwise, if we don't commit the offenses and chant, Mahaprabhu will be pleased, Nityananda Prabhu will be pleased, and they will take us. We may be totally unqualified, doesn't matter. Like I may be lame, but if I sit on a lift, if I stand on a lift or if I go into a lift, can I go on the top floor of a 100-story building? I simply have to go inside that lift. And the lift will take me. It doesn't matter who I am. And this lift is actually Mahaprabhu's mercy. And in this age, that lift has become manifest, Mahaprabhu's mercy has become manifest in the form of ISKCON. That ISKCON is the lift. Just chant the holy name. Just stay in ISKCON. But in order to stay in ISKCON, you have to chant the holy name. That's the qualification. In order to stay in ISKCON, you have to follow the four regulative principles. Follow the four regulative principles, chant the holy name, following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And what will happen? One fine morning, you'll find yourself in Goloka Vrindavan. Won't that be wonderful? That is how easy the process is, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Does anybody have any question?
Today I have practical question about 7 questions.
7? Okay.
The first is the people in Satya Yuga used to Dharma was on 4 legs. So they are used to follow the four regulative principles naturally. So the question is that, if it is difficult to maintain even one pillar of dharma in the age of Kali, how is it that one can actually keep the four legs intact of following the four regulative principles? Like, is it easy or practical for everyone to follow the four regulative principles?
Is it difficult for you? Be honest.
Somewhat.
You see, it is difficult. But if you stay in the association of devotees, then it won't be difficult. That's why I always push you, stay in the association of devotees. Don't be alone. Always remain in the association of devotees.
The association of devotees will make it easy. When you're in the association of devotees, is it difficult to follow the principles? No. Do you get urge to eat meat? Do you get urge to take intoxication? And so forth. If you remain in the association of devotees, these inclinations will disappear. Therefore, remain in the association of devotees. That's why Prabhupada created this company. The International Association of Devotees. That's what ISKCON actually is.
And then, how is this correlation between meat eating and austerity and intoxication and mercy and so on?
You see, austerity, like, you know, the sharir abhidda jal jarindriya taika, and tarmote jivbhavati lobhomai sudurmati. So of all the senses, which is most difficult to control? Tongue. So meat eating is relative to tongue. So that is why to abstain from meat eating or not to indulge in meat eating is possible. Now, intoxication and mercy, actually, mercy and intoxication makes the heart hard, and mercy disappears. So that is the link. There is, once I actually came across one expression which actually made this point very clear. That you see, the word hashish, it's actually a Turkish word, and this substance used to be given to the executioners when they used to go to execute, kill somebody, then this was given to them so that the heart would become hard. So this way we can see how intoxication actually makes the heart devoid of mercy. Hard heart means heart that is devoid of mercy.
And then
Prabhupada
says, in this age of Kali, truthfulness is the only leg of dharma that is supposed to represent. But it is very difficult to understand how in the present society there is anything called truthfulness still left, because there is so much lying and there is so much cheating everywhere. So how can we understand that in this age of Kali there is still something?
Yes, others may be doing it, but you don't. That's the point. The devotees should not take to deception and lying. Devotees should be situated in truthfulness. Right. And actually, if we can just follow this one, if we can adhere to one pillar of dharma, we'll achieve our spiritual perfection. Therefore, we should be very careful not to compromise on this one. It should be true.
Prabhupada says, it is that the chanting can be done at any time, but people generally say that without taking a bath, I don't feel like chanting. I mean, people say that quite often. So,
okay, when you are lying on your deathbed, will you be able to take baths? Will you chant?
And then I said that in the age of Kali, it is only chanting the Bhajan name. But chanting has to be done attentively. So then attentive chanting is also meditation, in a kind of a meditation. So what's the exactly difference between meditation of Satya Yoga and the chanting of the Holy Name?
Actually, in chanting, in Sankirtan, all other three processes of Dharma are already included. Because when you are chanting, this is the way to worship the Lord. Sankirtan Jogya Kari Krishna Aradhan. So the way to worship Krishna is by chanting the holy name. So when you are chanting the holy name, you are worshipping Krishna. This is the Jagya Sankirtana Private. This is a Jagya, a very special kind of Jagya. So when you are chanting the holy name, you are also performing Jagya. And when you are chanting the holy name, you are meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the ultimate perfection of meditation. So the chanting of the holy name includes all the other three processes: worship, sacrifice, meditation. They are already included. That's the advantage of chanting the holy name.
And then in the age of Kali, the most disqualified people are getting the mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patit Pavan. So, but at the same time, in order to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has to be humble, one has to surrender. But whereas humility and surrender is actually the highest qualification. So is it that it's like an apparent, is it that one is most unqualified or one is most qualified to receive?
You see, it's not that you have to become literally fallen, but it's a matter of feeling fallen. That is the important consideration. Somebody may be most sinful, but he may be arrogant. He doesn't think that he is sinful. Right? You go and ask the most sinful person, you know, and he will say, I am the best man. That was, it has been seen like, I forgot the name of one gangster in America. Like he was found, you know, the police was trying to find him. Finally they found him in one apartment. And still then, you know, the person was fighting the whole, you know, New York City police. Right? He was alone actually. From his apartment he was fighting. And then finally he died. But when they went to the room, they found that there was a note. That note said that inside there is a tender heart who always wanted to do good to others. So he is the most, you know, wanted criminal, but he is thinking that he is the, you know, most generous person who always wanted to do good to others. You know, like, and what did he do? Just before he came to his apartment, just before that, the police stopped him. And when they stopped him, they shoot the police. And, you know, like, I mean, he had been killing people left, right and center. And then, you know, like, he is surrounded and he is killed. But, you know, what is he writing in his note? That inside there is a wary heart, a tender heart, a soft heart, that wanted to always do good to others. Like he didn't think when he was killing the policeman, you know, what's going to happen to his family. Right? He's thinking, he's claiming that he was always thinking of doing good to others. So that is the human nature. A man never thinks that anything is wrong with him. A criminal never thinks that he's a criminal. He thinks that he's a very generous person. Right? He justifies himself in that way.
Then in that sense, qualification of humility is required.
The most important consideration is how one is feeling within himself, genuinely. And that must be demonstrated by his action. Right? So that is a Vaishnava. He considers himself to be very, very fallen. Just consider Haridas Thakur. He is considering himself to be so fallen that he doesn't even go near the Jagannath temple. Now consider Brahma himself is feeling this way. Who is Haridas Thakur? And not only he is Brahma, he is such an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he didn't go to Jagannath temple. Right? But Jagannath used to come to see him every day. He didn't go to Jagannath temple. But Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came every day to see him. So that is how exalted his position, but he is thinking himself to be so fallen. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, such an exalted personality. I mean, what he actually wrote, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I mean, is the most brilliant piece of writing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and the philosophy has been most wonderfully presented, all in poetry. But what is he thinking about himself? I am more fallen than a worm in the stool. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Now, is he pretending? No, that's how he's feeling. So the actual consideration of humbleness, or actual consideration for being, considering oneself to be fallen, is not fallen in a literal sense, but thinking himself to be fallen. Why Haridas Thakur is thinking himself to be fallen? Because he's sinful? No. Because he happened to have taken birth in a Muslim family. That's why he is considering himself to be so fallen. He never committed any sinful activity. But still he is, because he was born in a Muslim family. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, another example. Because they were associated with the Muslim Nawab, and therefore they considered themselves to be fallen. So it's ultimately a matter of feeling from within.
And so that means the qualification of humility is required to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It is said that for pure devotees there are no rules and regulations. I mean, they are both rules and regulations. But at the same time, so many rules and regulations are necessary in order to become a pure devotee. So, is a devotee attached to rules and regulations or not? Kind of. Or should he be attached? Or if so, how much to what degree?
A pure devotee is above rules and regulations, but still he follows rules and regulations. Right? The king is a lawmaker. He can drive the car whichever way he wants, but he follows the traffic rule. Right? He doesn't break the traffic rule. Because if he breaks, jajjad acharati srishta. If he breaks the traffic rule, then everybody else will break. Therefore, to set the standard, he is also following the law. Although, he doesn't need to, because he is a lawmaker.
First question from Ramananda Prabhu. Even when we chant, we don't necessarily become pretty qualified. Is that natural or is it wrong?
Well, you don't have to feel qualified. Rather, as you make advancement, you will feel more and more unqualified. And the most advanced you become, you feel that you are most unqualified. That is the wonderful condition of spiritual life. You make advancement, you don't think that you are, no, now I am qualified. No. Rather, the more you make advancement, more unqualified you consider yourself to be. Okay, Ramananda?
Next question from Nilambari Radhika Matali. Does the consequence of sin committed unintentionally same as that of sin committed intentionally?
Well, naturally, the intentional commitment is more serious. But when you become a devotee, you don't have to worry about conscious or unconscious commitment. When you become a devotee, all your sins are wiped out. Krishna gave the assurance, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo. So a devotee doesn't have to consider consciously committed sin or unconsciously committed sin. Okay, Nilambari?
Next question from Sheetal Nazari. I am chanting, but the quality of chanting needs lots and lots of improvement. Does that mean when I will chant nicely, I will have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy?
Now that you are chanting, you are already receiving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So just keep chanting and always remember, always have the confidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing you, Nityananda Prabhu is seeing you, Prabhupada is seeing you chanting, and they are very pleased, they are very happy that you are chanting.
Next question from Prema Mandiri Madhavi. Many a times, even though we are aware, yet we are not chanting attentively, will Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still be happy?
Yes, Mahaprabhu will still be happy, but he'll be happier when you chant attentively.
Next question from Guru Maharaj Prabhu. When non-devotee says that the Lord in the heart speaks to them, how can we convince them? How can we convince them they need to follow the process of outlining Srila Prabhupada's book?
Yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, some frivolous individuals speak like that. But the best thing to say is that, look, just the Lord in your heart is not enough. Because it may be the Lord in your heart or it may be your mind. Now, how do you figure out whether it's your mind or it's the Lord? So, if it's the word of the Lord, then it will tally with the scriptures. Now, what the Lord is telling you, is it tallying with the scriptures? That is how you have to verify. It is not only the Lord in the heart. It also has to be confirmed with Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. Therefore, at a neophyte stage, we should not depend so much upon the dictates of the from the Lord of the heart. Lord in the heart. We should rather listen to the representative of the Lord in the heart, that is, the spiritual masters.
Next question from Rishikesh Prabhu. What is most effective way to avoid offense during japa?
By avoiding it. Just be attentive, be concerned about that offenses and don't commit that. Not only during japa, all the time. Never offend a devotee. Never blaspheme the devotee. Never consider demigods to be equal to Krishna. Never disobey the orders of your spiritual masters. Never blaspheme the scriptures. And so forth. Be attentive about that. And don't commit any of these 10 offenses.
And how do I genuinely feel
for
without pretending?
Rishikesh again. Well, by developing the genuine feeling of being fallen. Be honest about your feeling. Recognize your insignificant position. Recognize the need to depend upon the Lord. That is how you develop your genuine feeling, genuine mood of surrender. But don't do it to show off. That is the pretension. Pretension is for showing others. But the genuine feeling is to recognize that Krishna is watching. Krishna is seeing how I am feeling within my heart. So that is how we have to become genuine in our feelings. Okay, yes.
In Kali Yuga, dharma is standing on one pillar, that is truthfulness. Srila Prabhupada has emphasized in that part of Bhagavad Gita that truth should be represented as it is, even if it is harsh. But in our day-to-day life, we see that if we represent the truth as it is, that can cause problems. What to do with that?
Well, I don't know in which purport Prabhupada said that, but Prabhupada also said that present the truth in a pleasant way. If it is unpleasant, then there is no need to say that. Say for example, if someone is ugly, we don't go and tell the truth to him. Look how ugly. Right? So, the truth should be presented in an intelligent way.
That he's a good cook. Because if there is a good cook,
okay, yes.
You mentioned that association of the devotees keeps us aside from the deviation. So, my question is, if someone is traveling alone, then how he can put himself from the deviation?
What? I didn't get that. Why should he travel alone? Then when he is traveling alone, he should be constantly praying to Krishna, Krishna, please bring me back to the association of devotees. This condition is so dangerous for me. I don't like to be in this condition. Right? That's one way. Another way is, say you are traveling in a train alone. Preach to others and make them into devotees and have the association of devotees there. Right? So create the association by preaching. Through preaching we get association. While you are preaching, you are associating with devotees, and to whom you are preaching, you are making them into devotees and getting the association.
What actually means truthfulness? Means if we lie for the spiritual benefit? Sometimes we are in a condition that...
Like when something is asked of you, present it the way it is. Right? Or when you are representing something, when you are saying something, then present it in a way that it is actually. Right? So that is the meaning of being truthful.
Is it okay, like, if somebody is doing a job and if he wants vacation for a spiritual retreat, but he can't say that in the job, so if he lies or give medical certificate?
Yeah. Well, I mean, once in a while, for the sake of spiritual activities, some license has been given. Right? Okay, Sunny.
Maharaj, fallen means... that I am not able to follow the guidance given by Krishna and the scriptures. Is it true?
Yes, that is true. But then again, not to try to follow and think I'm not able to follow, I'm fallen. That is not right. You try, you have to try, right, to follow. That is being honest. Yes.
I have two questions. One is, like, in the modern age, like investing in shares and mutual funds, is it also a gambling?
I don't know. Because I don't know how the whole thing goes. Another thing is, you see, business is business. Like, either you invest in commodity or you invest in share, like you, when you do business, you do it with an intention to get profit. Right? So generally what business is it is, they invest in commodity. Say you buy rice. You buy rice in Dibas and sell it in Indore. Why are you taking it to Indore and taking all the trouble to sell it? Why? To make profit. So sometimes you may buy share thinking that, you know, like I will sell it afterwards. So it can be seen as a business. Okay? Business is business. So but you know, like if something is that speculative, that's why I say that I don't really know these sort of businesses. Therefore, it's difficult for me to comment on that. And Prabhupada said that business always involves certain degree of lying. Therefore, you give a part of your profit to Krishna consciousness. Are you running a business? Is your husband running a business?
No, we both have a job.
Okay. Anyway, still you give a part of your income. Okay, what's the second question?
When I take Pandavas, the devotees of the Lord, then in the pastimes, usually the pastimes are for us to have a learning. Like then why means they seem to be gambling at that pastime of the Draupadi and all?
They were gambling, yeah. You see, gambling in Dwapar Yuga for a Kshatriya was authorized. But still, you know, like those days, they did not cheat in the name of gambling. But because it was, you know, so close to the age of Kali, Kali already practically, Duryodhan himself is Kali actually. And so all kind of cheating came in. Like they would play, depending upon their fate. But you know, like this gambling was cheating. And ultimately, of course, it was Krishna's arrangement. Because if it didn't happen, the rest of the thing wouldn't have happened. Right? Therefore, Krishna made this wonderful drama to bring it to the climax.
Fall down, so why to hanker for that?
Yeah. You see, there are two ways to look at it. One is to always remember that the jivas are fallible. Jivas are not infallible. It's only Krishna who is achyuta. Krishna alone is infallible. But the jivas are fallible. That's the first consideration. And second consideration is that, you know, this advancement is a relative consideration. A neophyte devotee may think a devotee who has been in the movement for 6 months is very advanced. Right? But, you know, the ultimate consideration of advancement is whether one has developed a taste for Krishna consciousness. Whether one has developed love for Krishna. So that is the ultimate. Love for Krishna is the ultimate. Even the taste, ruchi, from that stage one can fall down. Even the stage of bhava, when one is feeling transcendental emotions for Krishna, like Maharaj Bharat, he was in the stage of bhava, and even from that stage he fell down. So Prabhupada is pointing out that even from the platform of bhava, one can fall down. But when one achieves the prema for Krishna, then he doesn't fall down. So a pure devotee is one who has received the prema for Krishna. And he never falls down. So the point is, a pure devotee never falls down. Right? But otherwise, you know, the pure devotee and practicing devotee. As long as we are sadhaka bhaktas, yes, we are fallible. But when we achieve our spiritual perfection by developing Krishna prema, well, then from that stage there is no possibility of falling down. But it's always better to be cautious, be careful. Always think that I may fall down. Even Prabhupada, the purest devotee, Prabhupada said, I pray to Krishna that I don't fall down. So why Prabhupada is speaking like that? Prabhupada is teaching us, don't think that you are infallible. Always be concerned that you may fall down. So it's better to feel that way. On the other hand, if one feels, oh, I am so advanced, I am not going to fall down. But then Maya will. See, Maya's illusory energy is inconceivable. Maya can sweep anybody away. Therefore, the shelter is Krishna's lotus feet and association of devotees. So, you got the answer to your three questions? Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare. Okay, today I am leaving, so from tomorrow for some time there won't be any class. But when I go to London on the 17th, 18th, there may be a broadcast. I will find out if they will be able to broadcast from London. But when I go to America, we'll make it a point to broadcast. So then you will see how others are watching when I'm speaking. Now I'm speaking to you all, others are watching, I'm listening to others, and then you can watch. Thank you. Of course, the time difference will be there. It won't be every day at this time. Sometimes maybe you have to watch late night, late in the evening. I will let you know. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And all of you, be very good devotees. Practice the process of Krishna consciousness very sincerely, chant attentively, without offenses, and follow the principles and read Prabhupada's books and associate with devotees and render devotional service. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.